It was the birthday of Alexandra Vladimirovna Shaposhnikova, the widow of an eminent specialist in bridge construction, but this was not the only reason why her family were giving a party. There is something moving about a family sitting together around a table in order to be with a loved one about to go on a long journey. This custom answers a deep need. It is not for nothing that, unlike many other old customs, it is still so widely observed. The country was at war. Friends, family, everyone understood that this might be their last gathering. There was no knowing how many of them would meet again. It had been decided to invite Mikhail Mostovskoy and Pavel Andreev, family friends of long standing. As a 19-year-old polytechnic student, Alexandra Vladimirovna's late husband had gone to Stalingrad for a few months to work as an engineer on a tugboat on the River Volga. Andreev had been a stoker on the same boat, and he and the young Shaposhnikov had often chatted together on deck. Andreev had later become a friend to the whole family. When Alexandra moved to Stalingrad with the children, he became a regular visitor. Zhenya, the youngest of Alexandra's three daughters, had joked, "Clearly one of Mama's admirers." The Shaposhnikovs had also invited Tamara Beroshkina, whom they had got to know only recently. Tamara and her children had seen so many burning buildings, air raids and hurried evacuations, that the Shaposhnikovs had got into the habit of referring to her as Poor Tamara. What's happened to Poor Tamara? How come Poor Tamara hasn't been round? For many years, this three-room apartment in Stalingrad had felt spacious. Home only to Alexandra Vladimirovna and her grandson, Seryozha. Now, though, it was crowded. First, Zhenya had moved in, and then, after the German summer offensive, Alexandra's middle daughter, Marusia, had moved in, along with her husband, Stepan Spiridonov, and her daughter, Vera. Until then, the three of them had lived a few miles away, near Stalgrez, the central power station. Anticipating night air raids on Stalgrez, most of the engineers, with relatives in the city, had sent their wives and children to join them. Spiridonov had installed not only his family, but also a piano and several items of furniture. When she wasn't on night shift, another old friend, Sofia Osipovna Levinton, would sleep at the Shaposhnikovs. She had first got to know Alexandra long ago, in Paris and Bern. She now worked as a surgeon in one of the city hospitals. And only the previous day, Tolia had arrived unexpectedly. He was another of Alexandra Vladimirovna's grandchildren, the son of her eldest daughter, Ludmilla, and he was on his way from military school to his new unit. He'd come to the apartment with his travelling companion, a lieutenant, on his way back to the front after a spell in hospital. When they first appeared, his grandmother had failed to recognise Tolia in his army uniform and had asked rather severely, "Who is it you're looking for, comrades?" And then she had yelled, "Tolia!" Zhenya had said that they absolutely must celebrate this family reunion. The pie dough had already been mixed. Spiridonov had come in his car bringing a large bag of white flour and a yellow briefcase full of butter, sturgeon and caviar. Zhenya had got hold of three bottles of sweet wine through her artistic contacts. Marusia had sacrificed part of her inviolable fund of emergency bartering currency, 2 half-litre bottles of vodka. It was usual in those days for guests to bring supplies of their own when they came round. It was difficult for anyone to lay their hands on enough food for a large group. Zhenya's cheeks and temples were moist from the heat. In a dressing gown thrown over a smart summer dress, her dark curls peeking out from under a headscarf, she stood in the middle of the kitchen, holding a knife in one hand and a kitchen towel in the other. "Heavens, is Mama still not back?" she asked Marusia. "Should I be turning the pie round by now? I don't know the oven, and I'm afraid of it burning." At this moment, she had no thought for anything except the pie she was baking. Amused by her younger sister's zeal, Marusia said, "I don't know this oven any better than you do, but there's no need to get so worked up. Mama's already here, and so are one or two of the guests." "Marusia, why are you wearing that hideous brown jacket?" asked Zhenya. "You're beginning to stoop anyway, and that jacket makes you look a real hunchback. And your dark scarf makes your hair look even greyer. Someone as thin as you needs to wear something brighter." "Who cares?" replied Marusia. It won't be long before I'm a granny. Vera's already 18 now. Would you believe it? Someone had started to play the piano. Marussia frowned. Staring angrily at Zhenya with her large dark eyes, she said, "Trust you! Who else could have dreamed up something like this? What will the neighbours think? It's embarrassing. This really isn't the time for music and feasting." Zhenya often took decisions on the spur of the moment, and some of these decisions ended up causing her and her family a great deal of grief.